It's time once again to open up your Bibles, and we're in lesson 18 and learning about the contrasts of God's Word. And if you remember lesson 17, we talked about the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. And we found out some things about what God was doing through Peter and company with the gospel of the circumcision about proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the kingdom here on earth. And we also found out the gospel of the uncircumcision, that God was long suffering with how many people? Just a few people? All people. He was long suffering. But today, understanding what God wants us to do in the dispensation of grace, and understand the dispensation of the kingdom, the law and all, that today we're going to look at some things that's very, the terminology that we're going to use is very, not tricky, but maybe misleading or some people's error. And the contrast that we're going to learn today, if you will, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And in the prophecy program, where's the focus once again with the prophetic program? The earth. What about the mystery program that you learned through God, through Paul? The heavens. So God made a distinction right off the bat, didn't he? And in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He didn't create the heavens till later on in chapter 2, when it was completed. But in John chapter 3, Israel in the prophetic program and in the timeline, if you're listening via radio, just be careful and don't look at your time chart going down the highway. But if you're here joining us today, you have a time chart in front of you that lists what God is in the prophecy program. And with the chart closed, that's what this is all about. This is your Bible on prophecy. Okay? And today we're going to learn about Israel. The nation Israel has to be born again. Okay, I know that's a term that's sent out there, and there's one president we had back in the 70s that made that very, very popular. And that was President Carter. He said, "I'm a born-again Christian." You know, and people grabbed a hold of that, and they ran with it. And today people use that term, and I don't slap them upside the head with a Bible or anything. I just say, you know what, it's interesting. Have you thought about this? But look at John chapter 3. We're going to work down through this a little bit today in the contrast and in the prophecy program. Israel has to be born again. Period. John chapter 3, verse 1 said, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, what do we find out in the baptism, the spiritual and physical baptism, about Pharisees and lawyers? They rejected the counsel of God. So when I read this about a Pharisee, he rejected John's baptism. But yet he's still a good guy. If you keep reading, look at this. It says, The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi." Now, how could he call him rabbi without Jesus Christ having, not a mark, but a certain look about him? You know what I mean? A rabbi had short hair. They put a bowl on their head and they cut it round. I used to have bowl cuts when I was small. I don't know about you guys. But it couldn't be perfect because there's only one perfect priest, and that's Jesus Christ, and they marred it right here. Then their beards had to be square. You ever see a real rabbi? Okay, so what did Nicodemus call Jesus Christ? Okay, I just want you to picture that, because I know you can open up your Bibles and there's pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in there that don't look like what you just heard. But keep reading.
Jesus had a beard that was square.
He was a rabbi. And little locks. If you really want to know what Jesus Christ, and this is our message, study Song of Solomon's chapter 5. It will tell you exactly what Lord Jesus Christ looked like on this earth. But anyway, keep reading. We, who's that we? Nation Israel or who?
Pharisees.
But no. Resurrection. Right. And And it says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Who's that? How many is that? It stops at how many? Boom, right? Thee. That's why I say, you say, well, we'll keep going. Except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? Three times in your Bible, the term born again is used. Twice in this passage, and one in 1 Peter. Okay? And who wrote 1 Peter?
Peter.
Now, who would Peter be?
The order of the kingdom.
Okay? Nicodemus, verse 4, said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's still talking to Nicodemus, right? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, we've done been over this kingdom of God and all this stuff. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that Israel was to know was where? To be placed on the earth. Okay? Through Paul, we understand the kingdom of God is much bigger now, don't you? It's not including just the earth. It's including where? The heavens. Okay? The whole entire universe. That's the kingdom of God. So, hold your finger there and go to Isaiah chapter 66. Now, they had to be born of water. What did the Pharisees reject? The baptism of who?
John.
Okay? And we found out about spiritual baptism, spiritual circumcision. Aren't they going to have the Spirit of God come on them over here in ages to come?
Yes.
Yes. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66.
66.
Verse, you can read 1 through 7, but I'm just going to start with 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a man-child. Now, I know I'm looking at a lot of women here that's had some children. Now, is that possible? Do you have a child before you have pain? You know, night and day they're in travail, aren't they? She was delivered a what? Man-child, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought her children. I just want to share that with you. Go back to John. The fact that a man is born of water and of spirit. It is possible. The answer is to that question. And we also found out in Luke 28, we didn't turn there, they refused the baptism of John. But verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is of flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. That's John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, if you're taking notes. But he says in verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, he's still talking to Nick, right? Ye. Now, who's he talking to there? That's right. Ye must be born again. The nation Israel, right? Okay. Hold your finger there once again. Get to Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's look at some things here. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're talking about being born again and all, okay? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23. Now, the book of Ezekiel is a prophetic book, correct? Is it talking about the time that Ezekiel was in, or is it talking about a future event? Okay? They're written here, but their focus has always been over here. That kingdom, correct? Verse 23, and I will. Wonder who that I will is. It's God. sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify you before their eyes. Now, when that's going to happen? It didn't happen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Ages to come, okay? For I will take you, who's that you?
Israel.
Thank you. From among the heathen and gather you, who's that you?
Israel.
Out of all the countries and bring you into their own land. Now I know you're sitting there thinking, that's already happened. But I beg to differ. Because where they're at right now is nowhere near what God promised them in the Abrahamic covenant. And God did not put them in that land. Man put them in that land. Okay? 1948. And a group of people came to our President Truman and said, hey, it's prophetic. It's prophecy coming true. And everybody fell for it. But keep reading. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who's that you? And ye shall be clean from all of your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, Israel, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away a stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. God is doing this. We're not doing it. And I know what people say, well, maybe God can use you to do this. Okay? God can use us to do a lot of things. But it's His Word that says what He's going to do. Go to Ezekiel chapter 11. Now, right there, they get born again and put in their own land, don't they? Okay? Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Much like what we just read, chapter 11, verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit upon you, and I will take the stony heart out of the flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they will walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Is that much like what we just read? Who is my people throughout the Bible?
Israel.
Okay? And He takes them from right here that wasn't their people and that little flock and makes them His people over here. Go to, we looked at Isaiah 66 and we looked at Isaiah 60, but turn to Psalms chapter 22. Back up to Psalms. Psalms chapter 22. Marvel not what the Lord Jesus Christ... Wonder what Marvel means. Marvel Comics, Spider-Man.
Don't be amazed.
Don't be amazed. Don't, you know, why you're putting so much thinking in this. Okay? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Psalms 22... Excuse me, 22, verse 30. Psalms 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Thou shalt come and shall declare his righteousness upon unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. There's a people that shall be born. It could be 20. There's 20-year generations. There are 30-year generations. There are 40-year generations. There are 70-year generations. But I don't get caught so much on that generation as the fact that, hey, they shall be born.
So there's not a specific length of time for a generation.
I don't think they are.
I just wonder because it's an accounted to the Lord for a
generation. See, this could be a generation. 40 years in the wilderness, that was a generation, wasn't it? We look at generations. How many generations are they in your family right now?
Two.
I get lost on that stuff. You know, I don't know if my children's the third generation, fourth generation. I guess it depends on how where you go. You know? So, go back to John chapter 3. He said about being born again. Okay? Marvel not. Go to verse 9. Verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus, verse 9, answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Now, before you look at that next verse, ask yourself. You're a Bible student today, correct? You know you have the Word of God. You know how to study it. How can these things be? And you're Nicodemus, a rabbi, a ruler of the Jews. See what Jesus Christ says about it. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said, "Oh, brother, just sit here and let me just show you what it says." What does he say? "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" You know what the Lord Jesus Christ just did? Insulted. Rebuked him. That's what's wrong with Bible teachers today. They listen to people, they get involved with religious system, and they don't believe their Bible, rightly divided. So God rebukes Nicodemus. "Art thou a master and knowest not what they say?" How many times have we come out of religious systems and start studying the Word of God and start believing it, and we look at our past teachers and religious leaders and stuff, think and say, "Wait a minute, you're a teacher, don't you know what this says?" And many times, what do they say? They buckle up, "I don't have time for you," and they move on. I'm not saying you do that. You always show people respect. That's why when you teach to understand the Word of God rightly divided, you teach it with the fact that you don't step on people's toes, because the last thing you want to do is show people's ignorance. And ignorance is a good word. It's a good Bible word. It just means not knowing. Stupid is not retaining the knowledge. Stupid is what stupid does. But look, you saw in Ezekiel 36, did you not? Ezekiel 36, verse 24 we just read Ezekiel 36, right? 23 through 26. Did he not just describe what's going to happen to a nation? Now, if you're a rabbi and you're a teacher, would you not have had those same books that you got today? And you realize, John the Baptist is coming. I understand there's a man speaking in the wilderness. It's all prophetic timeline, correct? God's got a schedule here. God laid out the books because he said before John was, you had the prophets, you had the Psalms, and you had the law.
That's the way the Old Testament was written.
Laid out there. Genesis through 2 Chronicles. If you want to lay it out there chronological, I can't pronounce that very well. It was all together. And they would have picked that Bible up. That's what's very, very important to study, to show who self-approved? Thyself approve unto God. You have books, and we laid it out. That's part of right division. There's times past books, there's but now books, and there's ages to come books. And if you pick that book up today, and you're studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Genesis through Malachi, or Hebrews through Revelation, and you're saying, "That's me," that's wrong. Even though you could be saved, and the Spirit of God inside of you, right? The same. That spirit is not growing because you got to put the right doctrine inside of you to make it grow, and you start to understand things. That's why it's very important to know that you have a completed Word of God. My book has no errors in it, and my books doesn't. This Bible, this King James Bible, does not have contradictions in it. You know, you can go to war with over contradictions, can't you? That's why it's contrast. It's opposites. Go back to John 3. He rebuked. Thank you. Nicodemus, he's a leader. You know, that's very, very important. He says, look this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. That's serious stuff, guys. That is serious stuff. Because right here where they was conceived, the nation Israel, through Abraham, they was born right here, born out. This is when he come out of Egypt, let my second son go. Let my little baby child go. He's the eighth of the bundle. He's weak. He said, my firstborn, didn't he? So that's where they was born. And they travailed through some things with childbirth and all. Same thing they're going to do over here. He says in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? That's serious. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. People will hit you up one side down the other with these verses in John. They'll have you so mixed up about your salvation you just want to just give up and quit, don't they? Just one day you're saved in this end, the other day you're saved in that end. And you know, and it makes sense, don't it? Makes perfectly sense. 1 John chapter 3. Now, people say, are you born again? You know that terminology. You know, a lot of you don't put your box in gloves on, say, hey, don't say I'm born again, that type of thing, you know. You just say, yeah, I know what you mean, but if you thought about this, but look, what do they say about born again? You're saved, right? You got to be born again. Look at this right here. Okay, look at this. Little children, verse 7. Little children, John calls the Israel saints, thank you. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So when you ask somebody, are you born again? They say, yeah, I'm born again. And you say, okay, do you sin? Don't we say that? I'm still a sinner. What does this say right here? I want you to listen very, very careful. He that committeth sin is of the what? Wait a minute now. I thought you was born again. Well, get there, sister. You're far ahead of me. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Okay? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Follow me? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now over here, didn't you read those verses I shared with you? That he puts their spirit in him and calls them to walk? They're not going to have a choice. I know for a fact, and I'll stand here today, that the Holy Spirit's inside of me, and I got the power not to sin. You've got the power not to sin today. You do. The same Spirit that raised God from the dead is inside of you. That's why it's very, very important to know what doctrine to put inside of you. Follow me? Because if you're over here, oh my gosh, I just sinned, I'm not of God. I'm of the devil. Is that not what it just read? You know? And over here, you know, people say, well, they didn't really have the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is enabled them, and there's Holy Spirit empowered them, like they did on the Pentecost. You know, the Holy Spirit empowered them there, didn't He? And they, what did they do? They spoke in tongues. You know, they laid hands on things. Today, the Holy Spirit empowers you or enables you through the Word of God. And if you don't get the right words in you, you know, just like last week, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, yeah, but we're sinners saved by grace. You know, I think about these things. I said, don't. That, to me, that's a crutch. Come on, guys. You're a saint of the Most High God. The things that I think, well, I still think, yeah, but I can say, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't have to think that. That's the power that's in you. And you know what? I know I'm not son of the devil. Now, my brother's here, and he mentioned, hey, you're son of Ed Yarber, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, he's joking with me, and we know our family history. You know, we know our family, and you know your family. Some of it's not good. But you know what? Today, you're the son of the, who? The Most High God. I wanted to share that with you because it's very, very important to know how you are born again. Now, the contrast to this, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, understanding the Word of God with contrast, you know the prophetic program deals with a certain group of people that God made a distinction with, and everybody else, this top line up here is Israel. Okay? This bottom line here is the nations, Gentiles. This is where I was at. Okay? You might have not thought you was, but that's where I was. I was a Gentile. I was part of the nation. I'm not a Hebrew. I was not born a Hebrew, and I did not become a Jew. But some of the people today would say, hey, you have to become like Israel to be saved. That's an error. Because if you know the book of Acts, it starts out in Acts chapter 1 with the nation Israel, and they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, when will you again restore the kingdom of, to who? To Israel. Because you know why? They walked with Him. He taught with Him. He said, hey, you're going to sit, you're going to be 12 princesses sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He promised them that. And He dies? You know? And they like, God forbid you do that. You know? Get, you know, trying to protect Him. They didn't know what Nicodemus should have known. The rule. Hey, how many people you know today don't know what you know today? We would think so. But we just got back from a conference up there with 430 people over. And you're like, I didn't know they believed this in Mississippi. Louisiana? No way. You know? You know what I'm talking about? Iowa? Nebraska? California? Not no left coast. They are groups of people that wants to know what's right, understand, but you know, they're like, God, you let the Holy Spirit teach you through the Word of God. Amen? But they fall in the book of Acts, describes the fall of Israel, the diminishing, and now they're down here amongst the Gentiles. The Gentiles are not up here. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Very, very important to know that there's been a dispensational change. Ephesians chapter 2, you know verse 11 and 12. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hand, God made a distinction. And there was name calling back there, people. Like name calling today. You Catholic, you Baptist, you Presbyterian, you Charismatic. You dispensationalists? You know, they're name calling all over the place and don't say they're not. They are. And look, we want to point fingers at the Muslims, don't we? And the Buddhists and the Hindus. But Christendom today is just what it is. But look, Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I've told you my testimony. Nobody in my early Christian life ever showed me that verse. Ever. Because that scares me just as much as this place over here does. The lake of fire. We've been talking about that, haven't we? But nobody told me I was an alien from, you know, they call me strange, peculiar, but an alien. I told our oldest daughter that. She said, "Dad, do you believe in ghosts?" I said, "No, but I believe in aliens." You believe in aliens? You know, you think spaceships and stuff like that, but keep reading. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were some who were sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Did you know that there was a spiritual wall between a circumcision guy and an uncircumcision guy? You know that. That's a spiritual wall. For he, verse 13, 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. There's a legal wall there. You had a spiritual wall that kept you from God. You had a legal wall that kept you from God's people. If you know the pictures of around the temple, they had a 4-foot wall and dared the Gentiles to come in there. It was worthy of death. You know what Paul did, didn't he? He takes Titus in there, don't he? Did they welcome him with open arms? Gave him a right foot of fellowship, quick. And they close the door behind them. And he keeps reading. It goes, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. That's a big one. Contained in what ordinances? To make in himself of one twain one new man, so making peace. This is what God is doing today through Jesus Christ. He's not forming a nation. He's forming a new man, okay? This new man don't have to be born again because you're in Christ, you're already there. Okay? New creation. I got to keep reading for a minute. And he, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body at the cross. We just sung a song, didn't we? At the cross. It's by the cross. It's that instrumentality right here that when Christ died at God's perfect timing in His prophetic timeline, He died, He was buried, He rose again. At the cross, we can look back at the cross and through that instrumentality, if you don't mind me saying that, is the fact that we understand what's going on now. It's not the fact that it happened there for us, because what did we find out? God's still working through the little flock with the nation Israel. He gave them 1 year. Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 8 is 1 year in your Bible. And if you know anything about the dying of the fig tree, that man was coming in there to cut that fruit tree down. And that planter said, "Lord, just give me one more year. Let me pick it up. Let me dung it. And if it don't bear fruit, then cut it down." John the Baptist comes on the scene. He said, "Hey, the axe is at the root of your tree, Israel. You better start bearing fruit. It's coming down." Okay? 1 year, they didn't do it. They stoned Stephen. And they fail. So God raised up a new apostle, Apostle Paul. But that, he says, by the cross having slayed the enmity thereby. That physical wall. Spiritual wall. Legal wall. And a physical wall. It's gone. It's gone. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And get Galatians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 6. That dispensational change in God's program has benefited a lot of us. Would you agree? We had a personal change that we had because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, 4, 5 says, in times past our conversation was children of disobedience, you know, stranger. We personally, when we came to God, We had to change that. But we couldn't get in His program without the whole dispensational change of what God's doing. And that's just a stewardship, a dealing out. Chapter 5, and you know what verse 16 says. For wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. I think I said that right. That's a lot to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Okay. Paul, if you read Acts chapter 26, verse 9, and Acts 22, verse 8, he talks about Jesus of Nazareth. So he knew kind of Jesus, the earthly Jesus. But what does it say right there? Know Him no more after flesh, right? Now, let me ask you this. Where did you know Jesus Christ after flesh? Sir?
After the flesh?
Yeah.
I don't know Him after the flesh.
Right, you know no more. But if you had to know Jesus Christ after the flesh, where would you know Him at?
Matthew.
His earthly ministry. That's how you get to know. You find out He's born. You find out He's in a temple at 12 years old doing this work of the Father. And you find out who He is. And you find out He's God the Son. He came to die. He says, verse 17, therefore then, if you don't know Him after the flesh, you should know Him how? How should you know Jesus Christ today?
Spiritually.
And you find that through Romans, through Philemon. He's in royal exile today, and that's what you should be telling people. Do you know why Jesus Christ is gone here today? Because the world rejected Him. But keep reading what it says. This is very important. Therefore, if any man be in who? Christ, he is a born-again Christian. Okay? I just had to throw it out there. It's not what it says. It says what? A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In the time past dispensation, there was old things there. In this dispensation of grace, it's new things what He's doing. Man, He's doing things today that it's tricking the devil. You find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The devil hates this program. He hates this message. Because God used this to trick him at his own craftiness, it says. You won't find this stuff. Keep reading. It says, and all things are of God who hath. Now, are you still waiting on that? What does hath mean? It's a done deal. He's already done this. Reconcile us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of what? That's what we should be telling people. And keep reading. To wit, why do you want to tell people this? That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us to the word of what? You know, God is not imputing trespasses and sins against you. Now, I will impute trespasses and sins against you. The guy carrying a badge will do that. We'll put each other under trespasses and sins. But right now, God's not doing that. And you might be scratching your head like, what in the world? So what great news could we share with a lost, unsaved person out there that right now, Christ ain't imputing trespasses and sins, but guess what? There's going to come a time, right? There's going to come a time. And just like we was talking about the other day, you know, but we're talking about, you know, unpardonable sins and stuff. What's the only unpardonable sin that you can commit today?
Disbelief.
Die unsaved. You're not getting a pardon. Everything else can be pardoned because we talked about some things. Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He said, if you blaspheme against the Son of God, that's what He says, excuse me. He said before the cross, if you blaspheme against the Son of God, it shall be forgiven to you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Okay? That's blaspheming means what? Speak evil against. He hung on a cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do.
Doesn't it also say, blaspheme the Father, blaspheme the Son?
Holy Ghost. And he hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. For what? God answered Christ's prayer and forgave them for what they did to the man of sin, a man of God. Okay? He gave them 1 year. When they stoned Stephen, man of the full of the Holy Spirit, they blasphemed against that. And he stands up. And we all know that. Everybody said, oh, he stands up to welcome Stephen. He don't do that. He stands up because the next thing in that prophetic program was this time period right here. You blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, my wrath and vengeance is coming. But I look at this, now I stepped away from here a little bit. I look at this and say, God the Father say, hold on, son. Your time's coming. You remember what we had planned before the world began? The dispensation of grace, and he raises up a blasphemer and an injurious to become apostle of the Gentiles. In me first, he's the pattern. You know, Paul could not be a part of that program right there as a blasphemer or a part of that. That's why it's great news. God's given us a reconciliation message. Say, hey, he's not imputing trespass. He's long-suffering right now. You better get right. Look at Galatians chapter 6, and we're getting ready to close. Yes?
You made me think of something. A preacher one time told me, and this is so true, he had this question, and it was dead silence after he asked, it was gone. He said, how many more people in this world could we lean to Christ if we could forgive the way Christ forgives? Because we, as Christians, we have these unforgivable.
Oh yeah,
things.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And we fight with that every day. You know, how do we approach the guy that we once loved in the flesh? And you know, yeah. Galatians chapter 6. And the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of God. Grace and the dispensation and this present program, okay, the verses that we read in Ephesians 2, 2 Corinthians 5, and now Galatians 6, those in Christ are made a new creature. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, for in Christ. See, there's the key. You're not going to do anything outside of Christ to please God. You're not going to do anything outside of Christ to be in His will if you want to be in His will. Now, you're going to be in your will. If you die, can you be in your own will? They probably people put their own names there and willed themselves back. But look, in Christ, and that's the beauty of this message of grace and the beauty of what Paul has, that distinct message of Christ crucified, and in Him, it's all about Christ. And it ain't got nothing to do with you and I. I've been battling things in my flesh for years knowing this message, and it makes me most miserable. But when I'm in Christ, He takes that grace and bestows it in my mind and it's now in my spirit, and it starts to work down in my soul, and it makes a difference with how I deal with people through love sometimes. That's hard. And I'll tell you what, you love people because Christ loved you. You don't have to like what they're doing. You know what I mean? Follow me? For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a what? New creature. Today, God, you're not grafted in anything, as Romans 11 tells you. You're not in this program over here. God has planted a new organism, and it's up and it's growing. Okay? And we feed that through the Word of God, and it gets in our soul, and it grows. And makes you strong and powerful. Father, we do thank you for the time you've given us. We thank you for message of grace and understanding the Word of God rightly divided. In your name we pray. Amen.